Let's go into the house of the Lord. He said he was glad. And somebody told me this morning that I met him in Ford Church, and he said they're just glad and excited about being in the house of God. And I always thank God for that, and I feel the same way. Look forward to being in the house of God. It's good to see you, good to be among God's people and be in the place where God would have us to be, and just doing what God wants us to do, worshiping him, giving him glory and thanks and honor for all that he is. Turn your Bibles again to the book of Titus, please. Book of Titus. I'm going to try to finish up the message I've been trying to preach here for a few services on the subject of seven things that grace does. And I'm thankful for grace of God. How wonderful it is. I want you, Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's bow our heads, please, and go to God in prayer. After that, you may be seated. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have. Open the Word of God and read, and for the songs have been sung, and what a Savior. Lord, tonight we join with those that sang that song and say, what a Savior. Our Father, we glorify you and magnify you tonight and say thank you the best we know how. And pray that you get glory and honor and praise out of all the service tonight. Thank you for the children that sung. Thank you, Lord, for every prayer prayed. Thank you for everything that's been happening here tonight. But now comes time for preaching, and I pray, God, you'd help us. And I appreciate, Lord, and Brother Cox praying for us. And I say thank you, and I ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. Fill us with the power of God. Help us stand in the power. And I pray, preach like you want us to preach. Say those things pleasing to you. You said thy word would not return void. It would accomplish that wherein that you send it. And so I pray for the power of God to take the word of God. Speak to hearts tonight. Somebody be saved. Somebody let you have your way in their heart, their life. And they get help. Families get help. Their situations get help. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Pray, Father, that you help us preach in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Seven things that grace does. Now, I've tried to define grace every time I've tried to preach on this subject. And again tonight, I tell you that grace is unmerited favor, that it's God's riches at Christ's expense, that it's what you get that you do not deserve. That's grace. And I can't get over the fact of the amazing grace of God. It's by grace that we're here tonight. It's grace we're saved. It's grace that's kept us. It's grace that is working our hearts. It's grace that's given us all that we got. Thank God for amazing grace. If we got what we deserved, we absolutely would get nothing. Less than nothing. Because we don't deserve anything. And the sight of a holy God, he says, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. So outside of Jesus, we absolutely worthy of nothing. But thank God, in Christ Jesus, we are made somebody. In him, we're the children of God. Aren't you glad tonight you know the grace of God? If you don't know, I pray tonight you'll get saved and you'll come to know him. Verse number 11, it talks about salvation and the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. And so we said grace brings salvation. That's one thing grace does. It brings salvation. I'm glad I'm saved tonight by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you tonight that's not saved, you can be saved by believing and trusting in Jesus. Then we talked about grace schools us. It said in verse number 12, teaching us. And so he schools us. He's gave us a textbook. He's given us a teacher. And we are to study in the Word of God. And God helps us with that. And we grow in grace thereby. Then it not only does, schools us, but it separates us. And goes on in verse number 12, teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly, godly, righteously, righteous and godly in this present world. That's exactly how God wants us to live. Separates us from this world system. Separates us from what the devil and the imps of hell think about it. And lets us see that how God wants us to live our life. And we talked about that. Then we talked about satisfies. Verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we look for him, it satisfies us because we know we're going to get a new body, be made like unto Christ. We'll get to see him. We'll be in a place where there's no sin. And we will be in a place where there's no sickness nor death. I say hallelujah. That's enough to call time on and shout for a while. Just the fact of seeing him and no more sin and no more sickness, no more death. Hallelujah, never have to go to another cemetery. There won't be any cemeteries over there. And there won't be any doctors in practice, amen. There may be some doctors that are saved to be there, but undertakers are saved to be there, but they won't have any business to take care of. There won't be any to take care of in that place. We'll be taking care of God's business, worshiping him, praising him, giving him glory and honor and praise forever and forever. I say hallelujah. I like to get in little practice down here praising him and letting him have all the glory. Amen. Thank God for the reality of the grace of God. But let me give you about two or three things tonight, and I'll try to close out this message as such. It could go on and on, but let me say this tonight. Looking at verse number 14, first part of that verse, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Grace secures us. And here it is. And he said, gave himself for us, and that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That word redeem means to buy back, pay the price in full. It means to take out of the slave market. And it also means cannot be returned. I'm glad I am redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. And I've been bought back. I've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from all iniquity. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm glad tonight I'm in one of that crowd that's not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John, he talks about that. I'm glad tonight that we know we're not redeemed. Aren't you glad that we're secure by the grace of God? Only thing that secures me tonight is the grace of God. The blood, of course, works, and God paid the price, and he made that death penalty and paid it and forgave us of our sin. And when he forgave us of our sin, he forgot about it, and he put it behind him. He put it as far as the east is from the west. He'll never bring it up again. I say hallelujah. I am glad for the fact that sin can be forgiven. Amen. And will be if we'll let Jesus forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm glad I'm secure in Christ. I'm not worried about what's going to happen. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. That's what he said in John 10:28. He said, no man. He said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither should any man pluck them out, my Father. Hey, listen, he gives us eternal life. How long is eternity anyway? Forever and forever. If I got saved, he gave me eternal life, did he not? Then that means I'm saved for eternity. And I say praise God and the Lamb forever, that it's real to be saved. And somebody said it's good to know you're saved, and it's good to know how long you're saved for. Amen. And you say, preacher, if you preach like that, then people say, well, he's preaching that you can just get saved and do anything you want to. And now if you really get saved, you want to or it gets changed. And if you want to or never got changed, then you never got saved. And so when you want to get changed and you want to go to the house of God, you want to do what's right. Now, you may fail and come short of the glory of God, but it's not because you want to. It'll be because that flesh nature got up in the way and you failed God somehow, some way. But I can tell you right now, when you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And a new creature born of God's Spirit on the inside. He makes a new man out of it. And thank God that man will serve and wants to serve the Lord. And in this flesh, we come short of the glory of God, but we have that desire within us. Hey, something within me. And there's a song that said, there's something within. I'm glad there's something within me that didn't used to be there, but it is now. Hey, something within me tugs from glory. Hey, something within me makes me want to live correct for God. Hey, something within me makes me want to be a good testimony of the saving grace of God. Hey, something within me. I praise God and thank God for that. And talking about that security, in Romans chapter 8 and starting at verse number 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. And is at the right hand, he is the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or sword? He said, what's going to separate us anyway? And he said, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter all the day long. But then he went on and said this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. I say hallelujah. Hey, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And hallelujah. I'm glad grace gave me that. I didn't deserve that. I don't deserve that tonight. I don't deserve to stand here and say, thank God I'm saved forever. I don't deserve that. That's the grace of God. Well, I can say I know I'm going to heaven. I don't deserve to say that. That's the grace of God. I'm glad I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and I'm headed for heaven. Heaven's my home. I'm just a stranger down here passing through. I'm a spokesman for him, ambassador from another world, came down here in this world to tell you about that other world and tell you that the king over there on that side, he wants you to come and live in his world. I'm glad, praise God. Somebody came and told me one day I didn't have to live in this world. I could be in another world, and told me how to get there, and then said, you stay here and be an ambassador down here till I get ready to bring you there. But my ticket's already bought. It's already paid. I got my passport. Everything's in order, and there's no power whatsoever going to change it. There's no airline going to cancel out on me. There's nobody going to tell me, well, it's not fully paid, price went up. Nothing like that's going to happen. It's already paid in full. It's already been receipted by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, thank God, I can stand and say, without a shadow of a doubt, by the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm secure in him. Amen. Notice the last part of verse 14. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Here, grace also brings servitude, and we serve. And you see in that service, but let me say this. He talked about peculiar people and purifying himself a peculiar. We are a peculiar bunch. You say, preacher, after I got in here, I found out y'all are peculiar. That's exactly right. And I'm glad of it. Somebody one time accused us of being a fanatic. And I told him I'd rather have a fanatic, no breeze at all. Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, that we are somewhat a peculiar people. The world don't understand you. In the world, if you're living for God and you go to work and those all around you, they're talking about junk, and you just walk away, or you say, I don't talk like that, or I don't hear that joke. I'm living for God. They think you're peculiar. Fact is, the world tonight thinks we're the problem. They've got it all turned around. We're not the problem. We're the only ones that's got the answer. And they don't have the answer. They may think they do. They have it all figured out. They think. And the answer for all that, only answer we have is the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no peace on earth. You talk about North Korea shooting on bombing, whatever they did. South Korea's island out there. Listen, there'll be no peace on this earth till the Prince of Peace gets here. And before he comes back to set up his kingdom and make a rule of peace, I'm getting out of here. The rapture take place and we'll be snatched out, taken home, and go home to glory. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe as much as I'm standing in this pulpit preaching tonight that the rapture may come before I get finished. And if it does, there'll be some clothes and ring and a watch laying up here and a bill phone, all that kind of stuff, but I won't be here. I'll be gone, amen. And if you're sitting there, you're in trouble. Friend, if you tonight, if a rapture takes place right now, and you don't know that you're ready to go, you're in a heap of trouble. And I'd invite you to Jesus tonight and know that grace of God that saves, amen. And so but it teaches us to serve. I got to get that serving. I got on that peculiar stuff, but anyway, it teaches us to serve. Ephesians 2:8 and a few verses following. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's where we stop most of the time when we're quoting that. But the next verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And sometimes we get accused of preaching and that we don't have to do anything. Well, you don't have to do anything to get to heaven because it's already done. It's paid for already. Ain't nothing you can do to get to heaven except believe and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've already done that, ain't no more that you can do. But you do work for him because he wants you to serve him. If anybody gave their life for you, wouldn't you want to serve them? Wouldn't you want to? I read about that fellow one time that was bidding on at a slave market years ago. And this one man was about to kill this slave. And the man stuck his arm out and spear went in his arm and kept him from killing the slave. And the man that was about to kill him said, you can have him because you stuck your arm out and you can just have him. That man looked at the slave and said, you're free to go and go anywhere you want to. He said, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay with you. Amen. Hey, listen, I just want to stay with him. Amen. He died for me. He rose for me. He's seated at the right hand of God. I just want to stay with him and serve him. I don't know what he wants me to do. I want to hear his voice. I want him to tell me what he expects of me and then obey him. And if you're saved tonight and where you need to be, that's exactly what you ought to want. It's what God wants in your life for his glory. And when we do that, we'll please him. We'll please him. I'm glad we have the opportunity to serve him. And I don't deserve to even be in a labor in the field with him. But we are. He said, we're laborers together with God. That's grace. That's grace. Amen. Think about that, working with God. I mean, in his field laboring. And that's grace of God, the grace of God that brings us out. Hey, thank God for that grace. He gives us, lets us serve him. And you say, and some people look at it like it's a burden to do it. Do something for God. It's not a burden. It's a joy to serve God. That's a joy to serve him that loved us and gave himself for us. We ought to want to do that. And so we see that. He said, occupy till I come. Be busy about my business till I get there. That's what he's saying. But look at verse number 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here he's given a summons. Speak. Psalms 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, sometimes we have meetings in the church and have testimonies, and people stand and testify about being saved, and that's good. That's right. That's what we should do. And sometime or other, and may not every service, but they ought to be, sometime or other, there's some services where it just gets loose, and people testify, tell them what God's done for them. And by the way, testifying is not telling how bad you're having it. Testifying is telling what God has done for you. That's good, amen. I've heard some people say they was testifying, and what they were doing were telling them about how bad they had it, how hard the devil's fight. Now, I know sometimes we mention the fact we're having struggles and things like that, but God's helped us with our struggles. What we ought to major on is God's helping us with our struggles, amen. And where the devil had been bonds, God's helping us with that. And we need to testify that. But we need to testify not only in the house of God, but out there on the job somewhere, in school, or out there on the street corner, in the store. There'll be a whole lot of opportunity this time of year to testify. And tell everybody around you be busy about Christmas and about this and about that. There'll be a time you can say, do you know what it's about? Do you know why we have Christmas? And I guarantee you, if you ask enough people, you'll find somebody say, I don't know why we're doing all this. It seemed like a drudgery to me, but it ought to be a joy. Hey, we're talking about the coming into the world of a Savior. We're remembering a Savior came. We're remembering a Christ child that came. Thank God came to die on the cross of Calvary. We're remembering His birth. And that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll have an opportunity to tell somebody, hey, I want to tell you what it's about, what Christmas really is about. And it'd be a joy to tell people about Christmas, amen. Here's a summons. It's a grace of God to let you tell somebody about Jesus. That's grace. God's grace lets you speak. Hey, it's odd sometimes people can get excited. South Carolina beat Clemson yesterday. You Clemson fans, don't y'all look so sad. Oh, somebody old. Jonathan, I didn't know your little one was a Clemson fan. Ain't not. Whether you're a South Carolina fan, I'm not getting into that part of it because that gets you in trouble, sure. That's bad as getting in politics. But people, whichever side you're on, if it's a Clemson fan, they won't say much about it. But if it's a South Carolina fan, they'll go to work tomorrow, and they'll be talking about it, and they'll be talking how about that, South Carolina. Boy, what didn't they do? Hey, let me tell you this. We need to go to work tomorrow and go out in the world tomorrow and say, hey, let me tell you about down at the house of God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the grace of God. Our preacher been preaching about grace. And that grace is so good. It gives us what we don't deserve. And I don't deserve to be able to even talk to you. But I'd like to talk to you about grace. I'd like to talk to you about what God did for me one day. I'd like to tell you about heaven, where I'm going. I'd like to tell you what the Savior did one day for me. Hey, that's the grace of God. Grace of God that helps us do that. And we can do that. And thank God for it. And exhort, encourage. That's what that word means, rebuke. That's condemn evil. But 2 Timothy 2:1 says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. I challenge you tonight to be strong in the grace of God. Be strong. The grace. Seven things that grace does. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight.